Morning, everyone. It's so good hearing people's faith stories. Don't you agree? I love it. And like Shirash and Yoko, they're an incredible couple and they're great family. And it's an honour to actually, he's part of our staff team, but it's an honour to have him there because you can tell he has such a hunger for God and he just comes up with gems. When we have our prayer meeting, we have our discussions. You just go, wow, never thought about it like that. So I love doing life with the church community, and that's what it's about. So I'm Claire. Hi, everyone. And I just want to thank Pastor Unami and Pastor Stephen for the honour of being able to share a part of my faith journey. And I'm on staff here, and I look after the media side of things, as well as I'm involved in the event and the service production space, and I'm married. David, my husband, is usually in the sound desk somewhere, or sometimes is even on the camera. Sometimes I'm on the camera, but today we have swapped roles. But Abriella, my 17-year-old daughter, she sings on stage as part of the worship team, and I've got a little boy called Isaac. Incredible family, and I'm so blessed to have them. And you know what? I grew up in a Christian home. That is such a blessing. And I grew up in the church. We went in New Zealand. From a Pentecostal Baptist church in New Zealand, in Tauranga. And so part of my faith journey, I guess, is about knowing God from an incredible young age. And I always thought, you know, I never really had this incredible conversion story of how I met Christ. And I used to think that testimonies were all about these amazing stories about, you know, how you met God. But I want to tell you today, people, you've got a great faith story. I've got a great faith story because our testimonies are about how God has been with us. And whatever story you have to share, that has incredible power and it's encouragement to someone else. So never underestimate the power of your faith story. So for me, I just want to share one of the things that God's walked with me through. And there's been many, many, many times that I've seen God walk through me and help me through different situations. So it's really about how I've seen God come through for me time and time again. You know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. If you're here today and you may be in a bit of a dark place or you might be overwhelmed by a situation, I get you. I've been there. I know what it's like. But there is light at the end of the tunnel, the light of God. And today I want to share something. When I was in a really incredibly dark place many, many years ago, and, you know, there wasn't any light when I was in that situation. But today, you know, I stand as a testament to God's goodness and God's faithfulness. So if you were to look at me today, would you believe me if I said to you, I actually have clinical depression and OCD? I do. I do. But this is the truth of God. This is the faithfulness of God. So about 17 years ago, just following the birth of my wonderful daughter, Abriella, I began to suffer from some mental health issues. And I didn't know that I was suffering from them at the time because with mental health issues, they can kind of creep up on you really slowly. And you don't really know what's happening until all of a sudden you're in a bit of a kind of a breakdown situation. So for me, it all kind of came to a head when Abriella was about 1 year old. And I was just really depressed, constantly feeling down, really low for absolutely no reason. I was also becoming incredibly anxious about things that normally I would be okay about. New situations, just different things. And there was no reason for me to have these sort of feelings of panic. And I couldn't explain them. And I couldn't understand why all of a sudden I was feeling incredibly anxious all the time about things. But I guess the biggest thing for me at this point in time was that I was beginning to get really bad, unwanted, weird thoughts in my head, in my mind. They would just pop in for no reason. You could be in a shopping line at the supermarket, and all of a sudden you've got these really weird, strange, horrific thoughts. And I guess I could explain it as being a horror movie, kind of flashing in your mind on loop. And I'm kind of like going, well, why is that in my head? I don't want that in my head. That's not my thoughts. But why am I thinking them? There must be something wrong with me because I'm thinking these things that, kind of situation. So coming from a Pentecostal background, growing up in a really, really cool Christian church, we all know about spiritual stuff and the attacks of the devil. So I thought that I was having an attack of the devil. I also thought that perhaps I was becoming possessed by the devil. Although, just a side note, that was not happening, But people who suffer from mental health issues can sometimes feel like that because they're not your thoughts. What's going on in your head is not of you or of God, so where else would it come from? So nobody knew what was going on. On the outside, I looked quite normal, acted quite normal. My husband probably knew. I talked to him about it, so he was aware of what was going on. So, of course, being a Christian, thinking this has to be the devil, the first step of call was to go and see our senior pastors of the church I was going to. Now, as it happened, the wife was actually a Christian counsellor. And so David and I went and we explained what was going on. And so I said, well, I think I need deliverance. So we had a couple of sessions. Well, I had a couple of sessions with her. And, it didn't really help. In fact, it got worse. So it was at that point that my wonderful husband, who is very wise, said to me, you know, love, if this was a deliverance-related issue, then you'll be getting better, not worse. So we really do need to go to the doctor perhaps and find out if this could be something else. He said, there's all sorts of mental health issues. Maybe it could be that. I don't know. But let's just look for the next step to take because, you know, God's got to have an answer. Now, I was in such a black, dark place. The only time I really had peace was when I was asleep. It was so bad that constantly in my head, I was incredibly anxious. I had these, you know, my mind was whirring over with things that I didn't want in there. And I had a one-year-old child. I was really beginning to kind of explode from the outside, from the inside out, the inside out. And I wasn't being able to function as a person. Once I'd made the decision, we made the decision to go to the GP. We made an appointment. I thought, I'm going to find out if perhaps David could be right. Maybe this is a mental health issue. So what do you do when you want to find out something? You Google it. Of course you do. But then, so I thought, I'm going to find out just for my, you know, sense of, just for my knowledge, just my sense of peace. And just perhaps then I can say, could this be that when I go and see the doctor? So I sort of put in the search engine the issues that I was having. And as I was looking through the research that came back, I came across this anxiety syndrome called OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder. And I just want to read a little blurb from the health medical journals of what obsessive compulsive disorder is about, just in case anyone is not really aware of it. So obsessive compulsive disorder is characterized by unreasonable thoughts and fears, obsessions, that lead to compulsive behaviors. These obsessions and compulsions get in the way of daily activities and cause a lot of distress. Ultimately, you feel driven to do compulsive acts to erase your stress. Even if you try to ignore or get rid of bothersome thoughts or urges, they keep coming back. This leads you to act based on ritual, and it's a vicious cycle of OCD. So when I read that, and I thought, oh, this sounds interesting, and there's actually a checklist where you can tick the boxes off to see if perhaps what you're experiencing is similar. You know, could you be facing this thing? I literally ticked all the check boxes. So the next day, we went to see our GP. David came with me, and I sort of said, we explained what I was going through, what was happening to me, and she, the GP, who actually was a Christian, did definitely concluded that I did present with OCD, and she also said it most likely sounds that you have depression, probably postnatal depression that had been sort of building, and that could have been one of the things that triggered your OCD. So I was urgently referred to see a psychiatrist who get diagnosed, and I actually ended up getting an appointment for the next day, which is incredible on its own, and she was able to start me on medication that day. But if you've suffered from a mental health issue, you probably know that it doesn't, you just take a tablet or take a pill and you come right. It doesn't, it's not like that. It can be a long journey. And from my initial diagnosis and mental breakdown, it probably took me 2 years for me to sort of get to a place where I felt like I was much better. You know, and it's a varied road. It was you take your medication, which helps with the chemical balance in your brain to get that back in balance. But there's different things that you go through, treatments that you do therapy-wise to help you shift your thinking that needs to be sort of retrained, or perhaps even your beliefs. Because as it said, OCD tends to, you sort of counteract things that are happening, and sometimes they can be learned reactions that are perhaps not healthy. So it does take time. And quite honestly, it was probably about 5 or 6 years before I could really say I was in remission from my mental health illness. And so today I stand before you. I still take medication, but I don't have any of the unwanted thoughts come into my mind anymore. Like, those things are not there. And my anxieties that I was feeling, that's not there anymore. And I've had, during the 5 years and even after that, and up till this day, you can have relapses, or you can have things where you can begin to feel a bit depressed, or you can begin to feel a bit anxious about things. But when you work with therapists, you actually have a mental health plan that you put in place to begin to work through. And so I knew exactly what to do if things go a bit haywire. But they haven't. So I can stand today and sort of say, you know, God is a good God. He's faithful. So I have a scripture. And just in conclusion, and I'd like to invite the worship team to come back up on stage and just get ready. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you nor abandon you." And this is so true. God has been with me every step of the way. Do you know that when I was in that incredibly dark place, I couldn't read my Bible. I even struggled to pray. I didn't know what to say. But it was the hope that I had in God, that I knew whatever I was going through, whatever was happening to me, God had to do something. God was what I had to cling on to. And I can say that I honestly don't know if I would be alive today if I didn't know God. The place was so incredibly dark that if I didn't know God, I would have had no hope. So to me, that was an incredible turning point in my life, because I know that God is the God of hope. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. So today you might be feeling like you're in a tunnel of darkness. It doesn't have to be a mental health issue. It could be another sickness. It could be a difficulty you're going through. It could be a relationship issue, financial issue. It could be an addiction you can't stop. We all have things that sometimes overwhelm us. But whatever you're facing, don't give up. Cling on to your Heavenly Father, because He is there for you. You know, I prayed, but sometimes I didn't know the words, so I would just speak in tongues. I had no other words to use. Belonging to a church community is a great support, because it's in that place where you're going to get people who are going to stand with you. When you're struggling, you're going to get people that are going to stand. Never be afraid to ask for help. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of courage. And you walk your journey. There's no time frame. When you're going through an illness, recovery, who knows? There's no time frame. But you've got to be gentle on yourself. Take it step by step. And even if you relapse, or things happen, or you give in to your addiction, pick yourself up and look to God. So I want to leave you with this. You know, God loves you incredibly. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've faced, what you've been through. You may feel broken, hopeless, unworthy. But God does not see you like that. So this morning, I'd like to invite you to be upstanding. I would just like to give an opportunity for everyone here just to have a moment just with God. So if I can just ask if you could have our eyes closed and our heads bowed. You know, Jesus Christ came to earth as a baby. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. But ultimately, he came to earth with a purpose to die on the cross for us. God sent him to bridge the gap between us, sinners, broken, hopeless people. Christ's body was broken, his blood was shed. He became the sacrifice so we can come into a relationship with God. So if you are here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Saviour, I'd like to invite you as an opportunity. Perhaps you have known God, but you've walked away from God. Well, today I invite you, come back into relationship with God today. So we're going to pray a prayer together, and you can just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came and you died on the cross for me. That you took all my sin, my hopelessness, my sickness. That you became that sacrifice for me. Today, Lord, I recognize that you are my Savior. I ask for your forgiveness for my sins. And I give my life into your hands today. I invite you to come into my heart as my Savior. Now, just with every head bowed, I just want to ask if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or perhaps you've come back into relationship with God this morning, just to raise your hand. I just want to acknowledge that, and just an opportunity for you to catch up with you after the service. And you know, it's God's calling you home. So thank you, sir. I see your hand. We have got a great team someone will come and talk with you about your decision today, and they'll just give you some resources. But God is a good God. God is such a good God. And this morning, as I hand back to the worship team, there's an opportunity here if you need prayer. I encourage you to come forward as we sing a song just to end the service. If you're going through mental health issues, or you're going through something that you feel overwhelmed with, you're in that dark tunnel, I invite you forward. As a worship team sing, come forward. We have a prayer team who want to pray for you. The altar is open, and don't go home today without getting a prayer, getting a touch from God this morning.